everybody. This is the American Idol recap here on Reality TV Wrap Ups. My name is Mike Bloom, talking about the top 14 as it makes its way down to 10. Keep losing people by the barrel full. And of course, I am joined by the birthday girl.
The birthday girl.
Another year older, another year wiser, another year prettier. I don't even know if that's possible. My lovely wife, Angela Blum.
I hate that voice.
What?
That voice that you're using.
What's that voice?
Another year older, another year prettier, hate it. Hate.
I don't know. I'm not putting on a voice.
Yeah, you are. You are putting on a voice.
Let's talk about that.
No, stop. I hate it. Anyway, yes, it was my birthday. Yes, I'm older. Yes, I'm ready to talk about American Idol.
So was this a gift for you, or did you feel like this was like a lump of coal in your stocking?
No, this was a tragic lump of coal in my stocking.
Well, there's one. You had your Thaddeus moment this week.
Yeah, no, I would say the second episode, or the reveal episode, was a little bit tragic for me, because I think that the judges' picks were not to my liking for the most part. I would say that there was obviously the clear pick, the second clear pick, and then the what the beep pick for me. But yeah, I think that I, for the most part, was on the same, like, just sort of excited about the people that I was excited about and their performances. I mean, we can talk about the ones that were like I've watched on loop since they've come out, but yeah, it was a great gift. It was beautiful.
Yeah. I'm assuming there was one in particular that we'll talk about that was a beautiful gift for you.
Maddie Poppy.
Oh, you're like,
Poppy,
you're your own
Maddie
little
Poppy.
Crowd chanting, like they were apparently chanting Ada over like the entire two-minute break.
So weird. Yeah, no, I'm obsessed.
Well, let's get into it. First of all, what did you think about this idea? Because American Idol, as per usual, sort of not necessarily building the plane as they're flying, but at least
this plane.
Just not really letting us know what's going to happen. So all 14 were going to perform. And then of those 14, America was going to choose 6 to move on.
Yeah, I didn't know that until the reveal episode.
Yeah, the other 8 are going to perform for wild card spots, essentially, where the judges would pick 4 to move on, leaving us with a top 10. What did you think with this idea overall of sort of mixing those two things together?
So I didn't know what was happening during the reveal episode. At first I thought, oh, this is like a judge's pick. There's just going to be one person that they're going to pick for the top 10. Like 9 people are going to be revealed as the top 10. And then one person is going to be picked from the bottom to go into that top 10. And I actually prefer the way they did it, because I think that it left much more wiggle room and a little wiggle room, much more like up to the imagination. And I think just a little bit more, it like left more in the judges' hands at this point, which I think we were a little bit scared, because it's like,
that's right. I think what they're trying to do is essentially like ease the popular vote into the pool to like
because
test the waters.
Clearly the popular vote is a little off, because I think that I think also they're easing America back into American Idol.
Yeah.
I think that the people that are voting are all voting for the same person. And so there's probably a mass amount of people voting for one group, and then there are not as many votes for certain people, and then they're running into issues where people are getting bounced out, like Ada, because she's really popular, but she's not getting the votes because she doesn't have, like, everyone else is just assuming she has the votes. You know what I'm starting to say?
Yeah, we'll talk about it. It's a little bit of like a bystander effect.
I also
think
the Ada thing was total hoax.
Ooh, we'll get into that. Some tinfoil hat theories from the birthday girl. I mean, I would say that, I don't know, I for the most part thought America got it right. I would say of the 6 that were chosen, like,
yeah, I
like
can
disregarding
see it. I can
previous
see it.
Performances, 5 of the 6 probably had like some of my top performances of that night. So, because I think we saw even in the case of a couple people who, like, I'm glad this was sort of instituted as well, because some people really did not do well the first night and they got a couple of opportunities to sort of improve themselves on the second night. Sometimes it didn't really matter.
Yeah, I think the jaw dropping moment for me was the judge's pick of the night. That was me. Just sort of that Michelle Sosset, and then we'll get to it, but that sort of like, what?
Wow, go figure that a moment featuring a reality TV person named Michelle would cause controversy. Who would have figured?
What?
It's a Survivor Ko-Rong reference.
Oh, okay.
It's a Survivor Ko-Rong reference.
Ah!
this is your 29 voice. So, yeah, let's get into it a little bit. Also, I will say, overall, I'm starting to...
Yeah, how did you feel? Tell me how you felt. Tell me all your feelings.
Oh, man, my therapy. I didn't know it was...
Tell me how you felt. everything.
Yeah, I liked it. I will say overall, I'm happier with the exception of maybe a couple of those judges' picks, you know, how they are in general. I think that we were worried about Luke the last couple of weeks. He was a little bit off in space. Yeah. But he came back down to earth. Yeah, he was a little more grounded this time. I think him and Katie have been doing okay jobs of like making almost like compliment sandwiches mm-hmm. of like, you're great, you should have improved on this, but I still like you. Lionel is like off in Paula Abdul La La Land.
Yeah, no, he's I'm not sure what he's doing. And then he loves to just, it's a name drop or it's a, let me tell you yes. about when the Commodore started.
No, his phrase is, let me tell you something.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Or let me tell you when I first started on music. Or let me tell you about the first time the Commodore.
Yeah, it's an imperative. It's not a condition. Like,
it's like, okay, Lionel, that's great, but a lot of conditions around what was happening to you then and what's happening to me now.
Well, I also feel
not helpful, not helpful.
Let me tell you something is also somewhat of a dramatic statement. And sometimes when you say it a lot, but I don't want to harp on to Lyle too much.
Yeah, but it's getting old. It's getting old.
Yeah, but I think the judging panel overall was as bright and colorful as Katy Perry's hair.
And that's your outfit.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Well, let's also, quick thing, the new stage. Covered in screens.
Covered in them.
What did you think about them?
I thought it was cool. I mean, I don't know necessarily if it detracts or adds. I don't think mm-hmm. it does much in either direction. I'm not sure. We'll see if it changes moving forward. I think for this first round, it was fun to have it be so interactive. So we'll see if it like makes it too much moving forward. Because as we whittle down, it's going to be very focused and they're going to be longer segments of them singing, and it's mm-hmm. going to be so many of their faces. But I loved when Cade was singing specifically.
Yeah, when they had the band the little irises and each of the
panels. That was really cool. So I felt like they were able to do some fun stuff that I don't know if they could have done before. So I liked it.
Yeah, I mean the production value is out of this world. Between that and just
very ABC,
the light budget in particular,
lighting's come a long way,
and I love the spotlights.
Since 2016.
Well, the thing is that you know, I feel like back in the day, you know,
it's true.
The screens would be admittedly a little chintzier. One that I remember particularly is Kimberly Locke in season 2 saying "Heat Wave," and the graphic they used in the background was like flames, but like the flames you would see in like a Burger King commercial,
like literal like cheesy flames.
And we saw some in Garrett's performance, but I feel like for the most part there was some interesting imagery going on.
Yeah, they were using like pretty forward thinking stuff, which I think is cool, you know, considering it's these people only have like a minute and a half to like showcase some fun lighting technique. So,
but we should also keep a tally that like if we're talking more about the visuals than we are about the performance, that's not good.
Yeah, although I do want to keep track of how many times Ryan says Kieran dim the lights and like how many times he name drops his name. Is he like the lighting producer?
So he says that every time there's a result,
but he's been saying it a lot this season.
There's
a lot
of results.
I guess I just think he's been extra special.
Any
talking about Kieran
before we get into like performance by performance, what do you think about, since again I agree with you that I like the way it's repaired it down to 10, you know, results aside, what did you think about the way it was done though? Because I understand that like it's sort of tough to do to have them all sing like either victory songs or danger songs. And sometimes Ryan like made the announcement and led them to the stage.
Yeah, the way Ryan. Okay, so this was odd because the way they had it set up was it wasn't the same for everybody. He would go into the back room, the green room, and he would say, okay, I'm going to come out with you. And then sometimes he would tell them behind like a screen and he would be like, okay, well, you know, he would be walking towards
very Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah, very Aaron Sorkin, be like walk and talk. So like you had a tough night last night, like you really showed them all you got, and like, you know, and then they'd get to right before they get on stage and be like, and you know, it wasn't enough to get America's vote, but this is your chance to show everyone what you've got. So I want you to go out there and I want you to go get them and win that judge's pick. And then they would go out and perform. Or it was they would do that and he would bring them right out on stage and then he would say, and you've made it into the top 10 and then perform. Or he would do it behind the screen and say, you've made it into the top 10. Or he would just call them out on stage.
Yeah, sometimes he'd be like, he'd be on stage. Maybe he was too lazy to go back. Like, all right, Michael Wooder, you're safe. Come on out.
Yeah, so it was like, I don't know when there was dramatic effect required, and maybe it was like if he thought it would help them do better in their performances? Because I do feel
because that was a major concern, at least of mine, because this has happened in the past where, you know, when
it really messes them up.
Yeah, because the past couple seasons when they used to do like, you know, results from the previous week in that show. So like sometimes when you find out you're in danger, it really shakes up your nerves and you perform pretty badly. But I would say that I think that some people who were in danger really rose to the occasion. Yeah. So maybe that
was the only person I actually saw that didn't. I think Mara was the one person that I saw. This was the
like
first
visibly
time.
Visibly shaken.
This was the first time I ever saw her like saying not 100, like not perfectly. Mm-hmm. Like every other time I've seen her saying heard her saying, she's been like on pitch, like really perfect vocal technique, even if she's been crazy. Like this was like you heard her make like errors.
Are you talking about her the second night or the first?
The second night.
We'll get into it. That's interesting. I didn't notice that. But
yeah, I felt like she was shaken.
But I think that it's always an awkward thing to do. I just thought it was interesting how, like you said, they sort of changed up every time how it was done. And there was sometimes those sort of like awkward mile, the green mile to get
that
to the stage.
I felt like that was odd because it was like, and sometimes you could tell like the person was like not aware that Ryan was going to do that with them. Mm-hmm. Especially like people like Caleb, I felt like initially he was like, okay, should I walk with you? Is this what we're doing?
There was also this weird thing where I feel like, unfortunately, like sometimes the cueing was off where, you know, the audience would be cheering and Ryan would be like, okay, what are you going to sing? And we couldn't hear what they said they were going to sing. Yeah. So luckily we got those lower thirds, but I will say overall brought us some really strong performances.
Oh, for sure. For sure. So, I think this was there were some people, and we'll talk about it, that did like the best they've ever done. So, but we're going to talk about the first night first.
So we'll group them together by a singer since they ended up again. So we have this first night, which was just the regular performances. And then the second night was the songs of victory / songs of danger and the
danger zone. Yeah. I don't know why they called it that. Also, like, could they afford could they have gotten cheaper chairs for them to sit in on the stage?
Well, that's interesting because in American Idol 14, I remember that
they literally had like loose leaf taped to the chairs.
Well, in American Idol 14, they like splurged on the chairs. They sat in these chairs that lit up when the next person to perform was supposed to go on. It was like very like
too much.
It was
too
very
far
like
neo
futurist society. Exactly. So
like maybe somewhere in between. Maybe a nice cushioned option, though.
Yeah,
like a high school auditorium
or like a nice padded stool.
Yes, a padded stool would have been good, but these were like low to the ground and like visibly when Ada didn't get a chair, like it was like, oh, that's just a clear, like awkward looking chair now.
Yeah, it definitely felt like it was in the choir room back
in
school.
For sure.
Well, let's get into some of the fun stuff.
I'm sorry. I feel like he's rushing me. He wants me to get into it.
Get on the stage. How are you feeling?
How are you feeling? How are you feeling? Anyway.
All right. Let's
get into it. Let's get into it.
It's a great impression of me. Do I do it in my radio voice?
All right, everybody. So how are you feeling? What are you doing?
That is 50 million decibels softer than I sound at any normal pitch.
I know. I can't go as high pitch as you or I'll break all the glass. Anyway.
Luckily, reinforced steel.
Seriously,
here.
Let's talk about these people.
All right. Let's start with Caleb. And we'll sort of group his two performances.
One of my
together.
Top five.
One of your top five. He gets through the top six in terms of voting. Do you feel like, well, first off, let's talk about his makeover.
Oh my God, he looks so good.
So good. So, you know, he lost.
A little suave, if you will.
He lost weight and he also like spiking his hair up a little bit. I think he probably cleared up some stuff on his face. He's like,
oh, for sure.
Wearing
he's
clothes that fits
Accutane.
Him.
He's got his retinol prescription. He's wearing, I mean, they have them in makeup. Okay. So this is something I did want to talk about. This is the episode like between the taped portions and the live portions where this is the makeovers. This is like when in America's Next Top Model, Tyra takes them all to the salon and she's like, you're getting a buzz cut and you're getting hair extensions and you're going blonde. And it's like some girl who has like jet black hair. And it's my favorite episode. I live for it because girls cry.
Yeah.
It's dramatic.
When your career is your beauty, I think that makes sense.
What's the
percentage of them actually like working though in terms of looks?
More often than not, they're amazing.
So like, she has good judgment.
It's not just her too. She's like consulting with like the people in the salon. It's not just like Tyra, like you are going to wear this, but if you say that you love your long hair and you'd never cut it, she's cutting off all your hair. But
do you think contestants got strategic eventually and they're like, you know what? I don't want a bob.
100%. So I feel like this was like very similar to that. I feel like everyone's coming out with their new look. just like ready to hit the stage, ready to win over America. So Caleb comes out looking fine. He's lost over 80 pounds at this point, and he is a heartthrob.
He is a heartthrob. What I will say, though, I thought he was good. I thought he was good with his two songs. I felt bad for the first song because
it was a little too much for me. It was like a little too up tempo.
Well, yeah. So I'm glad that he at least showcased part of that. I think one of the issues, especially from the first half of the show, was that the band, something was off with the mixing.
Yeah,
or the band,
it wasn't
the
quite
band
right.
Was really, I don't know if he was really quiet or the band was just really loud, but especially in that first song, I could really hear it.
Yeah, it wasn't quite right. And it, like, you could tell, and he was doing well, but I think that I also don't love that. Yes, he's lost weight. Yes, he's done a makeover. Yes, he looks good. I do not love that Lionel is now pinpointing that as something that he's like trying to do, like that he's trying, that that's like affecting him. Like, oh, you heard all the girls start screaming.
Yeah,
so
Lionel
that's
so
like
fixated on these boys like, oh, I know you girl, you boys are thirsty.
Yeah. And it's like, yes, that he heard humans screaming at him. It's not just like girls screaming. Like, I think that like anyone would be affected by that. But I think that he tends to like Lionel's just a little too fixated on that. And I don't think that necessarily was the issue with Caleb. Like, he's a seasoned performer. Like, he's young, but he's like been doing this.
Well, Lionel also comes from an era, I feel like, where it's like the era where the Beatles were getting off of JFK, you know, where that was more of like a thing. So, and I think he might also be swinging to this idea of that they're more amateur performers.
Yeah.
So it's like, especially, well, I think it made more sense with Garrett and Johnny because they really are amateur performers.
Caleb's been around the block a little bit. Like, he's young, but he has been doing it and he's been performing and he knows what he's doing. So I don't think that this would shake him to have people cheering him on. I think something like the mix being wrong would mess him up.
Yeah, but at least
he did a good job.
To supplement that, he has not only a banjo, but a badass CLH banjo strap that his dad made him.
Well, he has that CLH strap on his guitar.
Does he?
Yeah, he's had it the whole time.
It's interesting that it was pointed out just there.
Yeah, he's had it the whole time. I love that he played the banjo. I was like, can he please play Rainbow Connection with that banjo?
Do you think that Banjo Nation was the one to send him through?
Maybe.
Not to be confused with Banji Nation, which is all
a little different.
All behind Ada Vox, most likely. So he sings Midnight Train to Memphis for his first song. And then for his victory song, he sings Getting You Home, the Black Dress song by Chris Young. And yeah, I feel like between the two nights, maybe it was because of the sound mixing thing. Maybe it's because it was a nerves thing. I do agree with Katie that I think the first half of the first night, basically until it got up to Ada, was pretty shaky, and I personally would attribute that to song choice and just nerves that you're out on this giant stage, what that you're not necessarily used to. But he seemed more comfortable between the two nights. I'm assuming that part of that was also him realizing, like, hey, this is for funsies.
For sure.
So it'll be interesting to see him go through. I wonder if him getting the popular vote means that, you know, I would say that he has not wowed me. He has not had higher peaks than some of the other performers, but I wonder if that's sort of a sign that, you know, certain parts of the nation really resonate with him and they're gonna be the ones to push him.
His earlier stuff has been better than his later stuff. Like, he needs to go back to his, like, his roots a little bit, and then I think he'll be back on track. But I agree that his, like, the stuff he's been doing recently hasn't been as, like, wow worthy as the other contestants. So but I still love him. He's still in my top five,
and he's still got a really fun personality as well, which I'm glad he's showcasing more, and I'm glad that he feels more comfortable as well.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's move on.
Oh, Michelle.
You are firmly, we're not, screw the Midnight Train to Memphis. You are off the Michelle train to Memphis.
I am. I just, like, I do love her. I think she's a great performer. And I do think she's, like, a very sweet young girl. And, like, I feel for her in a way that is genuine. I don't feel like she's a bad person or she's putting on a front or anything like that. I think she's doing the best that she can with what she's being given and the story that she's sort of being forced to tell in a way. I mean, I think that she's being told that she's the Venezuelan,
she's telling an immigrant story.
Yeah. And I think it's also, like Katie says, I'm happy that you went back to singing Spanish American, like Spanish English music, because that's your market. And it's like, yes, but, like, she clearly wanted to do something else than that, too. And So I sort of feel for her in a way that like is a little sad, because I do think she wants a little bit more than that as well. Like, she's grateful to be here, and she isn't saying she's not proud of her heritage, and she mm-hmm. but I don't think she came into this thinking I'm gonna be the next Shakira. You know, I don't mm-hmm. think that was
which Katie compared her to.
Yeah, but I don't think that was her plan. So yeah, I think she sort of had to develop that and had to like come up with this narrative. And mm-hmm. I don't think it's well formed enough for her to like, in my opinion, to like really see it through. But I think they want her to see it through, and that's why she keeps making it through.
Interesting. So you sort of think it's more so about what she represents than who she is.
I mean, you don't?
I mean, no, I definitely do. I didn't want to necessarily like throw out that idea that, you know, she was sent through because of that, especially.
No, I think she can sing, and I think she's a nice girl, and I think she's like a good performer, and I think there's a lot of things that she represents that are great and amazing. I just think that I just think maybe she didn't plan on that being
the
competition.
Diversity is incredible, especially for this type of show, but diversity does not necessarily just represent who she entirely is as a person.
Yeah, agreed. And I think that she's also somebody who, when you compare her to everybody else in the competition, I think she's just a little in over her head vocally.
Yes, I would say, again, from a performative standpoint, she at least brings the energy.
Oh yeah, she's got a great energy,
which again is so different compared to some of the other performers that are able to captivate just by standing still. It's a different type of thing. But yeah,
that's why, like, when she sings these like original songs, mm-hmm. I'm just like, I don't know why she's doing that, because is she doing that because she really wants to sing an original song, or is she doing that because she thinks she needs to present a narrative that's in line with this new persona of like the quote unquote immigrant story, like you said, mm-hmm. because I really loved what she did in the beginning of the show, which was like this fun, like Gloria Estefan, like,
yeah, her favorite performance of mine so far has been the one that she sang, ironically, when she was like on her deathbed in Hollywood, when she sang I'm Coming Out.
Yeah, and it was so good and so fun, and I felt like she was just like really invested in it, and I feel like you have to be invested in that type of high energy performance, and I just haven't felt her investment in her performances.
Well, I wonder if that comes down to song choice as well, because let's talk about these. So her first song,
well, that's what I mean,
it's a song called Friends that's capitalized like the title of the TV show by Marshmello and Anne Marie.
All right.
And then her second song, as you mentioned, is an original song called I'm a Dreamer.
That's what I'm saying, she wrote that like 3 nights ago.
I mean,
like 100%.
I don't want to knock her song whatsoever, but the lyrics are pretty damn generic. It's like, I'm a dreamer, I have a dream.
I'm saying, like, why is she? And again, like, I mean, we're trying really hard not to offend anybody, and like, we're really trying hard not to offend her, because I think she's in a really difficult position.
Yeah,
but it's pretty generic, and it was not amazing.
Yeah, so I'll go back to Friends for a second.
Never heard this song before.
No, me either. But you know, I think it's just, it was a weird song to sort of showcase, like, it had a beat behind it, which is interesting. We it was sort of delving into like the sort of electronica stuff that American Idol rarely goes into, but she had like a couple of good run-ups, but
Too musical for her. She needed it to be more simple.
There was some pitch stuff. They're like, you know, she was trying to hit some of the high notes.
She has the same issue that like Johnny and Garrett have, that they're not vocalists. They need to stay simple with mm-hmm. their songs, because they're the performers. Like, they have that certain something, which is great, but if you're not simple with your song choice, then you're gonna run into issues, because it's too big of a platform, and it's too big of a audience, and it's too, the music's too loud, and you're gonna make mistakes.
Yeah. And so if we move to I'm a Dreamer, I thought that at the beginning, I'm like, what is this? You have these kind of generic lyrics. She's starting in her lower range, which is like a little breathy and a little out of pitch.
Wait a second. I just need to ask you a real, real, real quick question. What do you think of her bangs? What do you think of her hair?
I mean, I guess she...
Do you love her bangs, bangs, bangs?
Her bang bangs?
Her bang bangs.
As sung by Journey. I mean, yeah, for those of you that listen to Angela spill the beans on the
dancing... Spill the beans on the bangs.
On the Dancing with the Stars podcast. I'm not a huge fan of bangs, specifically go in front of people's eyebrows.
He hates bangs. Like,
I feel like some people can pull it off, but for the most part...
No,
like,
he's lying. Don't listen.
I'm just not a fan of like the curtain bangs. Personally.
You don't like bangs.
I think people can pull off. I love Megan Z, and Megan Z is one of the very few people that's able to pull off the bangs, in my
opinion.
You're
lying. I didn't like her bangs either. They were bad bangs.
All right. Well, I'm glad I'm vindicated in that regard. But I thought that going back to I'm a Dreamer, I thought that at least once like the beat started kicking in and she got a little bit more comfortable, then she got better with it. And the song sort of took off there for me. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking for that wow moment from Michelle again. Or otherwise, I don't know, since she didn't get voted through this time, you know, she got through on the judges. I'm a little worried with what's, because apparently three people are getting cut between next week and the week after. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Katie really wants in her to get through. And I think that Katie also built her up quite a bit in this episode by reemphasizing you're from Venezuela, like there's a lot you can offer, like blah, 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 like trying to like emphasize her a little bit more with the people. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe that did amp her up a little bit more with the popular vote. So we'll see. But I think it's going to depend on what she performs next week. 100%. If it's not an upbeat song that she like knocks out of the park.
Well, it's Disney, so we'll see.
Maybe she'll do a good job.
I think she might do something from Coco if she wants to like pull back into like that bilingual roots. I think that would be actually a great choice for her if she chooses to do that.
She better.
We'll see. We shall see next week as we go to Disney. But let's move on here. Let's move on to somebody who did not make it through. What the heck happened with Marcio Donaldson this week?
He crumbled. I came into this week.
Super,
I thought he was a shoo-in
on Marcio. He had the story, he had the vocals, he had like the emotions, he had the performative ability. Like he put out two killer performances.
They were amazing
in the
last
top 24
week.
And it comes down to song choice.
He
does It's a Miracle by Barry Manilow.
Not good.
Then jumps to Jealous by Nick Jonas. We can get a little bit more specifically into the songs.
Nick Jonas doesn't sing Jealous well. Like
it's not a good song to sing
because it's like it doesn't sound like Nick Jonas sounds pitchy when he sings it.
Yeah, because it just keeps popping into the falsetto. And unless you're able to pull off that bridge, if you're like an Adam Levine, otherwise it sounds really bad.
And even then, it's like it sounds like. It's never going to sound vocally perfect. It's going to sound like a little off, and that's like cool in a way, but not for a vocal singing competition.
So let's talk about this. Yeah, I'm wondering if it's maybe some sort of vocal fatigue or nerves. So in It's a Miracle, which again, odd Barry Manilow choice.
Yeah, why Barry Manilow too? It's not really in his range.
Yeah,
because
he usually does soul or funk.
Yeah, I mean, like, maybe he just really likes this song, but it was bad. It was really bad.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he had good energy. I mean, he really tries to take him to church at the end, not to be confused with the Katie Turner song that we're going to be talking about. But like, I haven't heard this song in a while, but like the you, he's like, he doesn't even hit the notes. He's like, and you, like he was.
Yeah. You're saying it before, but maybe he is vocally fatigued. And if that's the case, then like, I mean, it better he go out here than like sink further. But I mean, that's sad because he was so good.
Like the high notes just unfortunately weren't there. And you know, I also liked Katie really. I mean, forget the compliment sandwich. It's pretty much all, not backhanded compliments with her being like, tell the other contestants backstage to do this for me.
Oh my God. Yeah. Katie was pretty bad at hiding her when she was saying like goodbye to somebody this week. She was very much so like, yeah, and you know, even if this is, you know, the last time that we
can be putting in those conditions,
and it was like, Katie, like that's not great, or she'd be like, yeah, we're gonna fight for you, and it's like you just like saw three other people like perform, so okay, cool, like you know, so I think that yeah, she wasn't great at hiding that she didn't love this performance,
and then we get into Jealous. Loved the visuals of the gold records on the stage. Very Shangela in the Studio 54 challenge in RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars 3. So, I mean, the band was definitely overpowering him, I feel like, in the first song. There was another case in this. And the second song, I think it was just when he went into that falsetto, it wasn't there. Strong. There was, like, this weird thing where, like, he wasn't necessarily singing along in the chorus. He'll, like, pop in for occasional phrases.
I've noticed this in a few of the songs that they do on the season so far, that there's weird, like, arrangements where they're having them do, like it was kind of the same way in Bang Bang, but it worked.
Well, in Bang Bang, Journey sang, like, every part.
She sang every part, and then there were points where she wasn't singing, because, of course, you can't sing all the time, but it was, like, a weird arrangement. So I think that they've had some odd arrangements, so that's not necessarily his fault, but
it was because he was, like,
Yeah.
Da-ba-da-ba-da.
It's like, okay.
He's like, all right, I'll tag out and then I'll tag back in.
Yeah.
I think he tries the best he can to salvage it when he falls to his knees at the end and just lets out this like wailed whistle note.
Very emotional. And he's always crying too.
He always looks so surprised too after finishes. Like, yes. What did I just do? Which again, I think that goes back to what we said before about him sort of channeling himself into every performance that he does. But I think Luke made a good point with like, now it's sort of a double-edged sword because I think he was so maybe emotionally shaken by finding out that he was in danger that it
too much.
I mean,
for
granted,
him.
He had an uphill battle choosing jealous in the first place, but that was made even more arduous by the fact that now he's got nerves.
Yeah,
so
I think he was one of the people that was definitely it was a problem for him.
Yeah, which is crazy because again, going into this week, I would consider him shoo-in for top 10, but I think it was good because at least it indicated that like, you know,
not the right time.
Yeah. Well, like it indicates that like, what have you done for me lately? The stuff that you've done, if you put out not so great performances this week, no matter what you were coming in, that can sort of humble you. So I feel horrible because like he was so emotionally invested in this and he has a lot at stake. But
yeah,
he didn't put in two good performances, unfortunately.
Everyone has a lot at stake at this point, though.
Lots of stakes going around.
So much meat.
Well, let's talk about another one here. This one's interesting. Let's talk about Mara.
Oh, Mara.
So Mara comes in, and this is one of those rare instances where I feel like someone did not do so well on the first night, but did really well on the second night. And I think...
Interesting.
Yeah, well, that was your big surprise, though, that she didn't get through, but Michelle did.
Yeah, so I would have said if you had asked me who the judges' picks were going to be when Katie was going to say her pick, I was 100% certain she was going to say Mara's name.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, it's going to be Mara. And she says Michelle. And I like lost it. I was just like, what? I was like, no way. Because then I knew Mara wasn't getting through because I was like, of course.
Well,
because
there was one person left and you have like Dennis in there.
Well, and I knew it was going to be Dennis because I think they were doing it the way that it was going to be like Lionel's going to pick Journey. Katie's going to pick a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then Luke will pick Dennis. So I was like, okay, well, then Mara's not getting through. And that's a shame because if Michelle, in my opinion, made it through over Mara, that just doesn't make the most sense to me. Like,
I mean, I think
performance capabilities.
I think we were talking about how we're speaking about how there might be extenuating circumstances there and how they're not necessarily in the same lane.
No, they're not. So it's not necessarily. I just felt like performance wise, based on the two songs that they did, like, it was not comparable.
Well, then let's get into it. So Mara does This Is Me from The Greatest Showman. I don't know, I guess like American Idol's in contract with The Greatest Showman to showcase.
A lot of people like to do this song, though, I've heard.
Well, this was the Oscar-nominated song.
And a lot of people like to do it. Like,
And then her second song was, she did a reprise of, I think it was her audition song when we heard her sing Love on the Brain. But let's start with This Is Me because... Yeah, this was, I understood why she was in danger after this first performance. I did not think, unfortunately, it was.
Yeah,
it was
great. I didn't love this song. I felt like it was awkward and I didn't feel like she necessarily like, drew me in at all. And I've also never been a huge Mara fan as like, I think she's capabilities wise amazing. And I think it's amazing that she's so good for being so young. But as a like personality and performer, I'm just like not as invested in her, and she kind of like bugs me a little bit, just to being honest.
But... I mean, in this song, what we were speaking about before with like the emotions, whatever they were really playing on her face. She kind of looked on like the verge of tears.
I was like, why? Like, what's going on here?
And I agree with Katie that I felt like the beginning was a little rough. I don't know if again the notes were too low, but like once it got to the middle, it built a little more. But yeah, it was an interesting choice for her to considering. We've heard her sing Whitney. We've heard her sing Rihanna. You know, she just killed Fight Song by Rachel Platten. It's interesting that she went in this direction.
Yeah, it was like, I think that she maybe took the feedback of the judges that she needed to be still and needed to sing this kind of a like ballad a little too like strongly. Like when she sang the Whitney song, I think that she got such good feedback from that she was like, I need to sing another song where I'm standing still and singing a ballad.
Mm-hmm.
Let me sing this song. You know what I mean? So like, I don't think that she necessarily is thinking in like a holistic way about the competition where she was maybe too focused on the judges' critiques. And I could see that maybe when they're telling them at the end, like you know, even if you don't make it this far, like, you're going to be able to, like, she was like nodding her head like they were talking specifically to her, like, you're going to be able to make it, like, you're going to go out on your own.
I wonder if that's the student in her, though.
That's what I mean. She's like so young that she's like, yes, 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 yes. Like, I'm going to do that. Like, yes, I'll do that. And that's what I mean. She takes the feedback and like she takes it too strongly.
I was trying to remember if we actually talked about this on air. I can't remember because it's been so many weeks. But I mean, this is also not her first rodeo. She, you know, was in, I think, the quarterfinals of America's Got Talent. Yeah. So, like, she knows, and maybe that's why we were talking about, like, some of her performative choices, because, like, she knows how to play this game.
Well, that's why I think that she took that feedback a little too strongly by going back to the wheelhouse of standing still, belting a ballad. I think she needed to do her something in between that and bouncing around the stage. Like, if she had done Love on the Brain the night before,
yeah,
or if she had done like a Rihanna song or even a Katy Perry song or something where there's a belt, but it's upbeat and it's like got a tempo to it, I think she would have done better.
Well, yeah, let's talk about Love on the Brain, because I loved this. I mean, it makes
sense.
I think
she did well. No, it was great.
I mean, you could tell. I mean, obviously she's singing as an audition, so you know, it's a song that like she has practiced by heart. And it, I mean, I'd be totally fine with that, you know, seeing, as long as it's not like with consecutive weeks, I'm fine seeing someone sort of reprise their performance. But I mean, the power is there. The confidence is there. She's putting emotion into it, but not like a weird amount of
emotion. Like a weird emotion.
You know, it doesn't feel contrived or anything. So
yeah, I think my problem with her is that a lot of her stuff does feel contrived. So I felt good that this didn't. I do think she did falter a little bit because she like you could see that she was visibly shaken at points, but I don't think it affected her vocally, which is good.
Yeah. And what I'm glad about is you have some people like her, and especially someone like Ada, who's like, screw it, I'm going to channel this into like into fuel my performance. Whereas unfortunately, someone like Marcio, you could tell, was like, oh,
I'm defeated.
Oh, I think it also helps with the song as well. I mean, Love on the Brain is one where you're supposed to like sang and like crush it. So she's able to like put that
be like aggressively
frustration,
mad,
through the big notes. So I thought it, I mean, obviously it was like right in her wheelhouse, and I feel like she did well. And arguably, you could say that like that should have put her in the top 10, but unfortunately, it didn't.
Yeah, that song, that's why I mean, like that performance was so crazy. So bummer.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, she was also, I believe she was the youngest person left in the competition.
Yeah, she's very young. So I mean, she'll be around.
Considering she's done two reality shows and made it pretty far singing wise, like hopefully she'll do well for herself. Because I do agree, I think when she has the right song, she is incredibly talented.
Yeah, and I think Katy Perry even said, like, I didn't make it until I was, like, 24.
Yeah, she said, like, I did my first album when I was 13, moved to LA when I was 17, didn't break it until I was 23.
So yeah.
It just shows how, you know, you have to put in your, just have to keep working hard. So, all right, let's talk about Garrett here, another person who
goes
home. And yeah, going in, admittedly,
little Gare.
Going in, I was a little surprised that, you know, Garrett came into the top 14, and especially stacked up to other people. And it's understandable why he went home, but I think you and I both feel that, we agree that, I think it was Katie who said that. So his first song is, what did he sing?
Raging, he
sang
Fire.
Raging Fire by P Squared, Philip Phillips, one of his favorite artists. And then his second song, which we agree with Katie, was our favorite performance of his, probably, I would say probably this with his duet with Colby Calais, was CCR's.
Yeah, he's one of those people that I feel like would do amazingly well at like old classic rock songs. Mm-hmm. If he would just like reach back a little bit into like some 70s like folk tunes or like some 70s classic rock tunes, some like Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, like stuff like that, like he could kill it with those songs because they're easy melodies, easy harmonies, simple like tunes, but they're like right in that like sweet spot singing wise for like an upper to middle like male voice.
Yeah, he's like a little bit of like a mid baritone, I would
say. And so like I feel like he needs to stick with like songs that showcase like a through line of a song and don't have runs. Like, you're not an R&B singer, you're not a blues guy, you're not like a jazz musician, like you are a guitar playing acoustic singing guy.
Well, so we tried
for
to,
now like
yeah,
maybe you could be better, but
so
like
he lost one guitar, that guitar singing guy. I like how we talked about how he went through the 7 stages of grief, which I guess they added 2 extra since I last checked.
That's crazy.
So let's talk about Raging Fire here. So I can understand why, you know, I think Philip Phillips was probably an inspiration to him, especially as a musician, and he wants to channel that. The tough thing is, you know, when you're doing a song like Raging Fire, it evokes a certain image, and I would say this was more so a match than it was an inferno, which you usually get from, like, Philip Phillips' grit-filled voice.
That's what I'm saying. He's not, like, he's like a Jason Mraz. He's not a...
I mean, he sang Lucky, which was Jason Mraz.
Yeah, he's, like,
of
more of that, like, down-to-earth mellow voice. He's not the, like, go-get-em, like, kind of guy, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So I just think he needs to find his identity and his, like, his identity as, like, a performer and a singer before he can, like, pick songs that are appropriate for him.
Did you understand Lionel's critique that he felt he was, like, going in and out of consciousness?
No.
While he was,
I don't
one too many
Lionel.
Hits to the head with his football career.
I, like, don't understand Lionel anymore.
I mean, I guess you can understand it where, like, I mean, we both performed in the past, like, when you perform, sometimes you get in your head about, like, oh, I hit this bad note, and it, like, distracts from where you're performing. I guess that's what he's getting at, but it was
a weird
way to
describe it. Yeah, he's, like, focusing on the singing and not just singing. Like, he's, like, thinking about it too much, I guess. And he can, like, see it in his eyes, but I don't think that's true. But
so let's talk about Have You Ever Seen the Rain? Because you really like this one.
I do. I love this song, and I think it's, like, he knew when to, like, back off the notes. He knew when to hit the notes. And I think he just knew the song really well as well.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's probably something he's been singing for a long time. I can tell you that it's a song that you learn quite early on guitar. I've shown you it, like, the chords for it.
Yeah.
So it's like, maybe that's something he learned right away when he learned guitar. So it's something that he has, like, under his belt, so he can, like, play it simply. And, like, he's not distracted by the chords, you know? So, I don't know, maybe he's just, like, comfortable with it, and that helped him.
Yeah, I think he definitely, I think it was, you know, I think it was Katie who's like, I like how you sound when the pressure's on. So it's good that, like, he...
Or it's off, because it's, like, no pressure for him to sing that.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
Nothing to lose.
That's the thing. I think he chose a song that he was like, okay, let me pick a song that, you know, I at least am comfortable with. So in the case where I am in danger, which was very likely after that first song. But I thought he sounded good here. I think his tone was good for it. I liked how it also started with just him and the guitar. I thought that was a nice, simple way to start.
Yeah.
A little bit of pitch stuff, you know, when he goes into the the high note, the I want to know. It was a little flat, like a little pushing a little bit, but otherwise I think he sounded good on it.
But he's always pitchy. That's the thing. I feel like they always expect him to sound clearer than he does, and he's always a little pitchy.
Yeah, more tone than, like, accuracy.
Yeah.
And he's got a great tone, as you said. Like, as long as he's
got an interesting tone to him, so he just needs to find himself.
Find yourself. He's going
to the
walkabout.
Woods.
Yeah,
yeah.
Going to the woods of Alabama, I think he's from, or Louisiana was the other guy, Lane.
I don't know.
Well, let's move on to Ada.
Ada.
A lot of interesting stuff. So I like also the little personal tidbits we get from these contestants, because Ada had brain surgery when she was 8 years old.
I know, crazy.
And so, like, she discovered music because, you know, she
couldn't play sports.
She couldn't play contact sports. And so, and I think she's from Texas. So, like, that's the Friday Night Lights territory.
Yeah.
And so she spent a lot of time in music. So let's talk about these two. First, I will say, were you surprised that Ada was not voted into the top 10?
Yes. But then I thought about it and I said, okay, well, think about the demographics. We watch a lot of drag. Like, we are invested in the drag community as a Bloom household. And even, like, our friends are very much, like, involved in, like, theater and dance. And
so it's an environment
we're comfortable with, we're knowledgeable about. And I think it's also up and coming with RuPaul's Drag Race is on VH1 now. It's something that a lot more people talk about. I mean, I hear it more, I see it more. And I think that it's becoming more commonplace, and that's great. But I think that for the majority of Americans, it's still very much taboo, and it's still very much scary. And I think that, I mean, even Michael, who does his own podcast about RuPaul's Drag Race.
Black Talk,
he does Black Talk. He's posted a photo of Ada, and he said, he was, like, really upset about and saying, like, it's terrible how the comments are so negative towards her. And, like, he was saying, like, it's crazy that we've come so far, but we're still, like, we've got so far to go. And, like, I was like, I didn't even think to look at the comments on because I just assume, like, okay, we're all on the same page, but we're not. I mean, it's like, that's naive to think that. So Yeah, I was surprised that she didn't get through because her performances are outrageous. They're out of this world. But when you think about it, it's a man in drag. It's,
yeah, that still takes, and also,
it's hard for people to wrap their head around.
Yeah, especially because there might be people voting in these communities who haven't seen that before.
And she's a diverse man in drag.
Yeah. Like
she's of a diverse background. So I think that it's probably... not surprising, but I hope that the show that they put on Monday night was enough to like help America a little bit, show mm-hmm. them that like she's wanted and like the audience wants her, the judges want her, like
yeah.
you should be voting for her. Like it's outrageous that you didn't, or maybe you thought you didn't have to because she would have the votes sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think that there's a lot of things at play there.
So you're hoping that... Because this happens sometimes where, like, contestants... Like, there was that infamous time where Jennifer Hudson yes. got eliminated. And he sort of, like, woke up the audience to be like, vote these people through because, you know, if when you don't, they get eliminated. So you think yeah. this might be sort of a wake-up call to the audience to
I mean,
say...
Maybe. I also was just, like... I had this, like, tinfoil hat theory that, like... I was a little suspicious at first because I was like, there's no way she didn't... She didn't make it into the top 10. And then they had her sing for her second performance. They had her sing, I'm not going.
Yeah,
and it's
and
like, and I'm telling you, and it's like, you were telling me that she had that prepared and then you didn't vote her into the top 10.
To be fair, her first song was also The Show Must Go
yeah,
On.
Yeah, that's
true. So I feel like she just picked generally like very songs that essentially indicate like, screw you, I'm here no matter what.
And I think that's probably indicative of the fact that she's been getting a lot of feedback that's not like amazing from the popular culture. But
so let's
talk about The Show Must Go On.
Jinx.
Monsoon.
Don't jinx me, hopefully, because that would just be you talking into a podcast by yourself
Hilarious.
For the next hour. So yeah, so let's talk about The Show Must Go On. First of all, dressed like a crow.
It's so good. She was very Freddie Mercury about the whole thing.
Very Freddie Mercury. I love the effects on it. And like Katie said, I feel like from a pure energy perspective and a focus perspective, mm-hmm. she was the first one to really bring
show
it.
Up.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, again, Caleb was good, but I feel like she was the one to really go in there. I would say, you know, so, as per usual, sometimes when she goes into those high pitch, sometimes it gets a little screamy. She was also someone who got like overwhelmed by the band as well, so I could feel her like shouting at some points, but I loved that final note. It was so rock and roll, and I love the dramatics.
The song is like perfect for her because it's like Freddie Mercury was about the dramatics, and like he was that show. That song is also about like him like getting over finding out he has AIDS. So like it's like so many levels and so many layers to that song and so many emotions that she can then take those emotions and make them about what she's feeling. And I feel like she really did that.
I think she does a great job with dynamics as well, where like she'll start very like subdued and more in her head voice. And then like as it builds with the band, then she'll really go into more of that, you know, mix chest voice.
Yeah.
So I think that she does a great job of putting an arc to the song, which segues nicely into, you know, And I Am Telling You, where she does like a very, that's a song that kind of charts it for you where you're supposed to end. But
I didn't love the arrangement of And I'm Telling You.
Well, it's tough because it's like a 5-minute song.
But I didn't love the arrangement that they did. So, but it worked. It was fine. And she killed it.
She killed it, though. It was interesting.
I missed her pants. I wish she was wearing a pantsuit, though.
I mean, I liked the earrings were giant.
They were huge.
But I also liked how, it was like, I'm staying, ha, and I'm staying, ho. Like, she almost, like, was doing, like, a weird Elvis thing.
Yeah, I liked it.
Maybe the jumpsuit would have helped with that image as well. But, yeah, I think that the message was good, and I think that it's a tough song to do badly on at this stage in American Idol when you were shown you're a talented vocalist. So maybe they did, once they knew her song choice, they said, no matter what, we're going to put her last. Because I do think she brought her home, and it segues nicely into the judges. Probably led by Katie, who is really like the biggest Ada stan, coming to an executive decision saying, you know what, screw, you know, waiting the commercial break. We're going to put you through right now.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that it would have been hard for her to wait. So,
and she gave like a really inspirational speech. Which says, you know, I don't know everything. I've got a lot to learn, but I have worked my butt off for over 10 years in the spotlight. And these gentlemen on my side, all of us collectively together, we have what, like 60 years experience. I think we do know talent when we see it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, again, Katie has a bit of a flair for the dramatic, but that was like a stamped seal of approval.
But that's what I mean, like, when I say I feel like hopefully that and the Ada chanting and her singing that song and everybody really embracing her on stage when that happened.
Yeah, that was so sweet.
Will open up some more eyes to the fact that, like, she's talented. Like, yeah, she's got it together. It doesn't matter if she's wearing a dress or not, like, or a loaf on her head.
Or a loaf.
Was she wearing a loaf last
night? No.
No loaf. Oh, she did have like a fun little bun, though.
Yeah, fun bun.
Fun bun.
Well, so let's move on here. Let's go to Katie Turner. I feel like Katie has been, like, now she's on the upswing in terms
she's grown on me.
And I think she's on the upswing in terms of, like, song choices.
I agree.
As well. I think she picked two songs that are both modern but so in her wheelhouse that, like, I'm glad she, I mean, they said it during
she needed to do this to win me over too.
And I think it's also they're focusing, because I think the other thing that you were sort of, we talked about this, is that we were getting a lot of her, even, you know, in her talk with Bobby Bones and everything, you get a lot of her personality. Here we just get like a talking head and that's it.
And I like her personality being a little bit more, it seems like it's trying a little less. Like, she's just being herself, whereas I feel like she was trying a lot harder early on in the season.
So do you feel like that, because she unfortunately had to sort of deal with, I feel like her and Ada might be the two that unfortunately got the most negative commentary.
And I don't feel like she knew she was trying hard. I mean, I think she was just trying, she was on a TV show. Like, what are you going to do? You're trying to be bubbly, you're trying to be a persona, you're trying to be whatever, but I do think she's relaxed more.
Yeah, I personally think, and maybe this is me being naive, I think it was more of an energy thing, where, like, she was just so frantic and nervous.
Frantic is a good word. It was too much.
Because she's not necessarily, like, she hasn't been in this situation before. Yeah. So now she, like,
She's relaxed, she's actually comfortable with herself, I think, and she's also, yeah, like you said, she's had a lot of unfortunate fan mail come through, not fan mail as well. Yeah. You know, she's had a lot of people reach out to her that do love her and think that she's great, and that's awesome. And she's had a lot of people that reach out to her who don't think she's great, and that sucks, you know, because she's young and that's, like, really horrible, but she seems to have a really good attitude about it. So,
yeah, I mean, like they said in her very first audition, when she was the very first audition, she knows who she is. And I think that corroborates with these song choices.
Yeah.
I also think her style.
Yeah, it's cool.
I liked her. It's like a comb over braid. Is that a right way to call it? Like, when she has that little braid going across the part?
A comb over braid?
Is that a term?
No. I'm like, don't even know what you're talking about.
She had like a braid coming.
It's just a braid.
Oh, well, I didn't know if there was in a specific placement, if it's called something.
She just had a side, her hair braided on the side.
So is that called a comb over braid?
It's a comb over braid now.
Thank
oh my
you.
God.
I'm the bastion of style. Mike,
it was like is along the crown of her head. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's talk about Take Me to Church.
Love this song.
Yeah, I love this song. I feel like, well, it's tough because she's singing in a different key, but it is a man's song. So the low notes were a little tough starting out. But when the chorus came, that's when she really got into it.
Yeah.
Especially when she, what Lionel said last week, like, pushed past the wall when she took the mic out of the stand. That's when she really brought it.
Yeah, and I felt like this was a really good song for her, too, because it was like lit, like Take Me to Church is like kind of like has like a dirty undertone to it. I feel like it's like has like a little bit like sexual overtones in my opinion. And I feel like it's a little interesting for us to see her sing that because she kind of has this like always is wearing like kind of a prairie girl look. And like I always feel like that's interesting to see that kind of dichotomy. So I liked this. It was fun. And she always comes across as somebody who's like a little rougher around the edges when she sings than when she's talking. So, yeah, she sounded great. She was amazing.
The one thing that was weird to me was, you know, take me to church. I'll let you melt down for the start of your knife. Like, Hozier, I feel like, holds out knife and she went like, knife. Like, she read it very staccato.
Maybe she wanted to stab somebody.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe she was thinking about a particular negative commenter.
Maybe.
It was just interesting because maybe it was to like catch a breath or something, but that was like a difference in interpretation that I really noticed. But I feel like it was a great song for her, but I actually really liked Havana even more, her second performance.
Yes, and that was really fun too because that's such a popular song that I think that it's unexpected that she would sing that.
What I loved about it is that she was so, because it also was a nice dichotomy in that Take Me to Church is a little more sullen
aggressive,
and big,
yeah.
And this is so playful.
Yeah.
But it was like perfect in her style. She was playing around with some of the notes. You could see a little bit, even though you could like sense the smile, behind each and every note, and like the song was just perfect for her.
Yeah, I liked it a lot, and I felt like it was it made her a little bit more likable too to like a younger audience, which I think is good.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that she got voted through as well, because I mean,
yeah, I was curious about that. Yeah, I wasn't
you talk
sure
about like her and Ada,
what's her demographic,
who might be like more polarizing people. You know, I think that.
I think for Katie, it's more like, what's her demographic? Like, who's going to like her? Like, but I think it's just people who like talent.
Well, I wonder if it's also like a message to people of like that, you Maybe. Know, Mara was sort of putting forth it as well. It's like, hey, there are these sort of like oddball people.
I just don't think it was like people were buying it with Mara.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately.
Well, I'm excited about Katie. I feel like
same.
She's in a good spot right now. So I'll be excited to see what she brings to Disney Week in particular.
Oh my God, that'll be so fun.
She's going to, I mean, I heard.
Maybe she'll get like a villain song.
Poor Unfortunate Soul. No, yeah. It's going to, Ada's going to sing Poor Unfortunate Soul.
Oh my God, I will die.
I heard that apparently the top 10 all went to Disneyland. So
yes.
I can assume if we get footage of that, you know that Katie's going to freak, as
yes,
would I.
Of course.
Let's move on to Cade Fainer.
Amazing. So good.
So good. I mean, I think we talked about this before, and I think you sort of brought this up. I would say that Cade is amazing performer.
Yeah. He's
good,
fine.
Good singer.
He's all right. I think I said when it was on, I was like, he's not the best singer.
Yeah.
But he's performing, like, to the max. And
yeah,
I think
and
his guitar capabilities are out of this world.
Yeah, and so that's maybe, like, what the judges were speaking about a little bit with like people like Garrett and Johnny too.
Yeah.
It's like, you might not have the strongest vocals, but there's something about your persona that provides, as Lionel says, for the umpteenth time, the package.
Yeah. And I think that with Cade, it's just like that performance is so much more than Johnny and Garrett could ever bring. Yeah. With him, he performs Black Magic Woman by Santana. And it's like,
which is interesting.
Oh God, it kills.
It wouldn't make sense if he wasn't playing the guitar, because it's such a guitar heavy
song.
Oh
God. Yeah. And it's just like, he kills this song. It's amazing.
Yeah, I love that after the first he does the guitar intro, but then when he does a verse and then he does a guitar solo and he comes back and he's sort of like up the octave, like,
yeah,
when he brings, I can understand,
he's confident in his vocals,
yeah,
too.
I
which
mean,
I can
understand why people might get a little tired of like the,
yeah,
constant growl, but like when he I think that was a nice build to the song, which,
yeah,
I think necessitated the growl. I also like, you like this too, when we saw his pre-tape, we showed him on the farm.
I love him.
Growing kale with his micro pig Shugs.
Shugs. I love Shugs. Yeah, I think that he has a great personality to him and a great, like hometown boy feeling. But then on top of then he comes out on stage and he like shreds.
Yeah.
And I think that he also, like I was saying before, he's confident in his vocal capabilities, which I don't necessarily think Johnny and Garrett ever were.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he might not be the best singer, but he's going to sing like he's the best singer.
And I think that especially now that those two are gone, I know we were saying about Caleb, but I think he's the heartthrob right now.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Katy Perry's mother.
I mean, he's gorgeous.
Very thirsty for some Cade, lemon Cade.
His hair alone is like gorgeous.
Yeah, so I feel like,
and he's got a shirt unbuttoned and he's like,
yeah, so I feel like
his hips like Elvis.
So I feel like if we're looking for like who will that demographic vote for, I feel like that's gonna be,
yeah,
going,
who's
his
the
way.
Cutie,
I mean,
patootie,
he got the fan kale.
He did get the fan kale. That was funny. Yeah, Ryan like loved saying that too.
I'm always good for like a well-timed pun.
Yeah. Yeah, you are.
Yeah, so Black Magic Woman, and then he also does Bright Lights by Gary Clark Jr. What'd you think about that one?
That was good. I think that was fun. I think that I wasn't paying as much attention because I knew he got through. But
right, yeah, I would say that maybe
to be honest
as well,
with you,
I wouldn't say it was my favorite of his. I think it was still good. Like, he still had the swag into it. I would say that he was a little pitchy on the,
yeah,
course, which happens sometimes with the growls that he's doing, but as per usual, he's rocking that stage and everyone is subsequently going crazy in there. So
yeah, people are like living for him. He's like a Beatle.
Yeah. And it's interesting as well. You know, we have the live audience too, which Katie actually made, not to go back to Michelle too much, but Katie made this really, I feel like, astute point of this dichotomy where she said, you know, sometimes you perform for the people in here and sometimes you perform for the people back home.
Yeah.
But I feel like Cade is somehow able
everything
to do both simultaneously.
He's a god.
Yeah. And it was also interesting watching, you know, people like IF the camera. Garrett was one who really IF the camera as it like swiveled around.
Yeah, that was a lot.
So let's move on to Dennis. And this was so interesting because I feel like my opinions, again, I don't want to keep comparing Marcio and Dennis, but I feel like they completely flip-flopped.
Yeah, they did flip-flop.
Like, going
I
in, I was like, Dennis, he had a good duet with Alan Stone, and then he came in, and Marcio, fantastic. But like, Dennis talk about song choice, because Dennis picked two songs that were so good for him. Him and Maddie were probably my two favorite performers this week, bar none.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that I don't love Dennis as much as you love Dennis, but I do, like, you can't deny that this was, like, amazing.
And it's just so versatile. So let's talk about it. So he starts with In My Blood by Shawn Mendes. And I would say, starting off, I'm a little bit like, okay. Like, again, we're going to this thing where, you know, notes are a little low and a little out of pitch and a little breathy. But then when he gets to It Isn't In My Blood, and he just growls it out, like, you feel that emotion. But not only do you feel the emotion, but it's on pitch. It, like, it builds perfectly with the song. It ends so, so strong. I do agree with Lionel here, where he says, like, this was sort of a moment where he was, where we got introduced to a new version of him. Because I think Luke was talking about how, you know, we usually have him do, like, the R&B or, like, the soft, soulful indie stuff, and now he showed that he can do some alternative rock. He's got a little bit of grit to him.
Yeah, I agree. I think that he definitely stepped it up this week, and I think that I like him more now than I did. I definitely liked his second song a bit more, in my opinion.
I mean, that was such a hard song to sing. This Woman's Work by Maxwell. The entire first verse he did in his falsetto, which, as we talked about in Jealous, is a really, really big risk to take. But he's so strong on it, and he's so smooth with it, that it's just a perfect way to start it out. Then when he drops back into that chest voice, he's able to, you know, have it bridge along. And then when he goes to this really great vocal run at the end too, it's just, he is, I wouldn't say he peaked, but he's built at the right time he's supposed to build. Even though he didn't get the votes that he needed, which I was a little surprised about, if it at least turned out, you know, this performance, I guess it was meant to be.
Yeah, I agree. I think he'll do well moving forward.
Yeah, I agree. So let's move on here. Who is next? Let's get to Maddie.
My favorite human besides you right now. I think that she is just so amazing. And I feel like she is somebody who is genuine and just so natural in her like own body as well. So it's like, her voice is amazing. She picks the right songs. And then on top of that, her personality is just like a shining star.
Well, I think it's so interesting that Maddie, you know, you would think the song she chooses is sort of like what you're advising for Garrett to do, which is like reaching back into the
60s, like, reach back a little bit.
But it's because she grew up listening to those songs, which I know
it's
is like
me.
Yeah, it's just like you. So I can understand why,
like,
you.
I would have picked these songs. I would have sung Homeward Bound. Like, this is so good.
So let's talk about this with Simon and Garfunkel. And I think, I know I talked about this last week, but it just shows how you don't need to go out there and belt your face off and go on a million runs. Yeah. All you need is, like, a captivating tone and a captivating presence to just hook people in. And this, you know, got her through. I thought it was just, it was like an alt country version of Homeward Bound.
It was good. And I felt like she just also really had just such a genuine tone. And then on top of that, just was so committed to the song. Like, it was just like, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm saying right now. I was just
she also, sort of like what we were saying with Dennis, took a little bit of a risk, considering that so much of it, like, lives in her head voice, because she's essentially singing the song.
It's
like,
true. She does have to flip into her head voice quite a bit. It's a hard song to sing. So,
but that made me, like, melt.
It wasn't and she doesn't do it perfectly every time either, but it's not bad.
Yeah.
Like, it's good because it shows, like, a personality in her voice that I don't, like, it's not perfect, but that's okay, because it's, like, it shows emotion, and I think that was good.
Yeah, it was simple, it was gorgeous. What did you think about Katie's comparison to Joni Mitchell?
I was like, Katie, Joni Mitchell did not write Homeward Bound.
Yeah, but I guess I can understand, but, like, Joni Mitchell does a lot of head voice stuff as well.
Yeah, okay, that's really the only thing I see, because Joni Mitchell doesn't, they don't sound that similar, in my opinion.
Yeah, also, I was gonna call this out last week, but I forgot. Dear Sway Bots, aka the audience members,
this
that
bothers
keep,
Mike so much.
Keep putting their arms back and forth. I just feel like you don't need to do it for every song. Yeah. This was not the song to
At
do
least
it
they're
for.
Not whipping out their cell phones and, like, holding them up in the air.
Not yet. There was one. There was one song. I think it was Jenna Irene in season 13.
Maybe they make them
yelled a song that's like, "Put up your glow sticks" or something. Before they did it. So
terrible.
Well, then she's the first one to to face danger versus victory.
Which was just
victory.
So amazing for me. It was like such a relief.
And so she does Walk Like an Egyptian by the Bengals. But such an interesting version of it, too.
I liked it because I felt like it was an upbeat song. And we haven't heard her sing a ton of upbeat songs yet.
I mean,
so.
brand new key, I guess you could call upbeat, right?
Kind of. But I think this was like a more of like a rock type of like song.
No, she did it you know, again, very mellow, a little more mellifluous.
More, but it was still upbeat. I mean, she was like, you know, it was like Walk Like an Egyptian. Yeah. So I felt like she did such a great job with this. And I felt like it was like she was smiling the whole time. So it was like a happy song, too, which was great.
Yeah, I wouldn't say this one was as stunning to me as her previous three performances, but I still thought it was good.
You can't beat Homeward Bound.
Yeah, I mean, it was an odd song choice for me. Like, okay, maybe I was so taken aback by it that it just sort of masked what I
thought. It also went by very quickly because she was the first person that went in. It was like, okay, you're in, now sing. Okay, you're done.
But I liked how kind of, I wouldn't call this sultry, but I guess because her voice is so smooth, like
it is, yeah.
It was not as rocky as the Bengals are, but I think it brought an interesting tone to it.
I agree.
So moving on to Journey. Journey's another person that we were very high on coming
This one was a shocker to me that she didn't make it through.
Really? Because, well, let's start with her performance of Bang Bang. I totally understand what she was trying to do.
I loved it.
I thought it was okay. I think that the high notes were a little shaky. Yeah. I think that she had a tough hill to climb considering that, as we talked about before, they did this version where she essentially did all three parts.
Yeah. That's why I think I loved it, because I felt like it was just this like, wow, Journey. Like, that was cool. You know, like, I think like I've seen her do everything else every episode. So if I'm somebody who's just tuning in this episode, maybe I'm not in love with it. But I felt like because I've seen everything else she's done, I know she's so amazing. I was like, yeah, that's fun.
Yeah. So I loved when she got into the Nicki Minaj raps. That was something that I did not expect. They very rarely do rap on American Idol these days. So I'm glad that she sort of tucked into that. And I thought that the Bad Girl to Blow Your Mind, like the Ariana Grande riff.
Yeah, she did a good job. I mean, she's the Ariana Grande voice for sure. I think that that's definitely her wheelhouse. So, and she sang like Nicki Minaj. That's crazy.
Yeah, and maybe it just wasn't like again, because of the arrangement, it just wasn't the best song to perform.
If she had done that after she had gotten in, maybe that would have been,
if she had done Never Enough, which was her, which she did in the showcase, but again, I'm fine with because she does it so well.
Yeah. And so I liked that a lot. I thought that was a really good presentation of her capabilities, and I think just a really good reason for them to put them in. If she had not been a judge's pick, I don't know what I would have done.
I mean, it wouldn't have. Katie said, never have I seen a more qualified woman for the job and still not get the job.
Yeah, I was like, it's insane that you're not in the top 10.
And she flat out said, what's the disconnect, America? Yeah, so we might be seeing some more like judges versus America.
I think we may, which would be kind of fun. I'm into that.
And Lionel tells her he loves her, which again is very...
Oh, Lionel.
He said, I've been writing these three words down for years. Let me say it to you now. Let me tell you something.
I love you.
Oh, my radio Lionel. Voice is back. But yeah, never enough.
It's always here.
I know that we've seen this before, but I mean, I can't say enough about it. It's so pretty. It's so effortless. I don't remember if she sang this during the showcase or not, this specific part, but the final notes were like so emotional in a way that they were really touching, but they weren't like overwhelmingly emotional.
Yeah. And I think that she was really like, I don't know if she was necessarily super worried that she was going to not make it into the top 10, but you can definitely tell that she was putting everything she had into it.
Yeah. Which is good, because that shows that, you know, she might... I think it's interesting to sort of see her and Dennis and, you know, Ada go through this, because maybe it also sort of tells them, from a performance level, don't rest on your laurels.
Yeah, because they are, like, the top people, you know? So it's like, if you're going to be at the top of the competition, be worried that you could still fall.
Yeah. So every...
That's a good point.
Every song
good
matters.
Good job.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So,
guys, just so you know, Lily's joined us for the podcast.
Yes.
She was crying at the door. No, she's sitting here.
She was doing her own, like, Marcy O'Donnell-esque whistle notes at the end of Jealous.
She was really upset.
She got jealous.
Now she's sitting here at the mic with me.
Then you might be able to hear her licking.
Can you hear her licking? Probably not.
A little pitchy on the licking.
A little pitchy dog.
So, moving on, we're going in the home stretch here. Last three singers. Let's go to Johnny. Now, Johnny, very vocal about the fact that, from a vocal perspective, he is not the most experienced performer. Well, starting with his first song, This Is Gospel by Panic at the Disco. You are a huge P at the D fan.
P at the D fan, and he is no...
Brandon Urie.
So, this was a mistake for Johnny, in my opinion. I don't think that he should be singing songs that are... And I think we've talked about this before, songs that are primarily sung by people that are leads of rock bands. Mm-hmm. Because I think that they're... And this is like Imagine Dragons, Panic at the Disco.
Oh, boy. Like, and guess what the other song he sings is? Imagine Dragons.
Yeah, exactly. So I think like he loves these songs because they sound good. And the people that are singing them sound like emotional. And they're fun to sing. But the problem is like these people, they're singing them for the emotional feel and not always the vocal perfection. Listen to Brandon Urie sing, like, it's not always vocally perfect.
Yeah.
And if you listen to Adam Levine sing, it's not always vocally perfect. Like, if you listen to like any of these people sing in their bands, like, it's not always perfect. But if you take them and put them in front of like a microphone by themselves, like, it might not sound right if they sang that song.
Well, I think it also might be a thing of, again, he's a little young, he's a little inexperienced. It might be, I like this song.
Yeah, I'm going to sing it.
Instead of someone like something like what Mara or Journey would do, which is, I like this song and I know I can sing this song.
Yeah, exactly. He needs to be singing stuff that's like the Garrett Jacobs stuff. Like the simple, you know, melody, the things where he can flow in and out of the tone. And go into the falsetto simply, and you know, like, yeah. I think that he's just like, it's not right.
So This Is Gospel, I would say that unfortunately there was a big, there's obviously with Brandon Urie, there's a big showcase of range.
Oh, but gosh,
here
for
Johnny, the notes were a little out of tune, and the high notes were a little shaky, like he was hitting them. He went back to the crowd, to the girls, as Lionel likes to call them.
Oh gosh, Lionel, I just rolled my eyes. I know nobody could see that though.
No, nobody can. Only Lily can.
Only Lily.
So, yeah, so this wasn't necessarily, and it's interesting that they sort of brought up how, in both songs, how he went from sort of like this guy at the piano, like sultry.
Yeah, he should do the piano man.
Yeah,
the
man. That's what Luke kept saying, was like, why keep going back to the piano? Because I agree, I think he was his strongest when.
I agree too, yeah.
When he was at the piano, because I think he felt most comfortable. And then we talked about this, his Danger Zone song is Demons by Imagine Dragons.
Yeah.
The start was interesting, and this will be like the first of two.
It was
two,
really slow, too.
The first of two people who start their songs off with a very interesting interpretation before it actually jumps into the song proper.
Yeah,
at first, I'm like, oh, this is a, okay, maybe we're doing a different take on this song. No, it's the same song, darn it.
Yeah, and I did feel like his version of Demons by Imagine Dragons was very slow. And I don't know if that was intentional as well or if that was a band thing, but it did not help the situation.
I will say from a style perspective, again, he also looks like...
He looked great.
Katie said it looked like
he got a little makeover.
He went to Coachella overnight.
And what did she say? She says about Gabby Barrett. She got the star.
Yeah, it's the star wash.
Star wash.
And but speaking of Garrett, she also said, you know, go to Gabby for stage movement lessons. But
that was offensive.
But he went to the ballet class.
He did go to... That's what... He listens. But I mean, like, don't tell him to go to Gabby for... He's not going to make it through. And also, like, she made it through and, like, she's in the competition. It's, like, a little rude, Katie.
Well, I'm...
I would have been annoyed at Katie if she said that to me. I would have been like, you know.
Well, I'm hopeful that, you know, Johnny obviously didn't make it through, but I'm hopeful that, especially with his storyline of, like, his family not necessarily approving of his choices, this is at least some sort of vindication or evidence for him to say, like, I want to keep working at this.
Yeah, like, I'm all right.
Because I think he has that natural base to build upon.
Oh, for sure.
All right, moving on. Michael J. Woodard.
Michael.
I mean, he's just such a lovely guy in terms of a... thank you. Just such a lovely guy in terms of a personality.
He's such a little bubbly ball of energy. Like, I love
just
him.
Just a big ball of smiles. And he has this interesting story, too, where he, you know, grew up in this very religious household,
yes.
So he didn't listen to secular music, and he only experienced it because he downloaded different genres as ringtones on his flip phone.
And I also love that he's adopted this, like, jumpsuit as an outfit.
He wore it for the first song.
And now it's, like, his uniform. I think that he... I love the way he interprets songs and does his own thing, but it's not gimmicky.
It's so, I really...
It hasn't become a gimmick. I was worried when he did Maybe This Time that it was going to become, like, this is just him being weird.
Yeah.
And it hasn't, which I'm loving.
I mean, he, I know we said this, you know, when he sang in the top 24, but he's someone who I'm endlessly fascinated by in terms of how he's going to...
So he's an alien.
Yeah, he's a Martian, as Lionel said. Which, again, Lionel, tell that to Katie Turner, so we might have a Martian versus Martian finale.
Martian versus Martian.
Then the aliens have truly won. But Michael starts by singing Titanium. It's always a little iffy when a guy sings, you know, Titanium, which was a it was by David Guetta, but it was Sia was the one who originally sang it. And it's the piano cover. It was very stripped down. And I mean, I know I'm just going to keep saying interesting over and over again for Michael, but it was so, so interesting. Like his tone and enunciation are so strange, as if Lionel says, as if it's a, he's a man learning a human language.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's the notes are there and it's so like such a nice tone to it.
Yeah. And if you listen to him talk, does normally he kind of sounds odd when he talks. So I'm wondering if he has like some sort of like maybe he had a speech problem when he was younger or something. And so when he talks and he sings, maybe he has to like maybe he's thinking differently about how he's speaking. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting to think about. But yeah, he does enunciate in a weird way. And it creates some like really cool way of singing.
It like colors the language in a way that like sometimes, you know, if he took an Imagine Dragons song and like did it his version, he'd be able to like turn those lyrics into gold. I really loved, maybe it's because I'm a show tunes guy and I love when you sing from The Wiz, but when he sang Believe in Yourself.
So good.
I mean, again, really interesting start where it was like almost an R&B take with like this weird like snapping behind it. And then when the and then he does like this alternate melody, and then when the main chorus comes in, he hits the stage.
He
takes it. He's got the big notes there. He's like bringing it home to the audience. Like he is totally coming to his own, and I am so happy he's here. And I'm so happy that he got voted through as well, because I feel like that's
people like
also
him.
The country saying like you're not like
that weird.
We're not turned off by you being weird. We embrace it.
Yeah, we like it. We think it's fun.
Yeah,
we like your weird.
And he also had such a like all the contestants that made it through like genuine like thanked
America.
They
seemed to really like each other too, which was really fun.
But it was interesting, and like when they came back from commercial, they would have like the contestant who just got through like talk to the camera of like,
oh yeah,
thank you
fun.
America. And Michael's was by far like the most heartfelt and genuine. Like you could tell he was just like a ball of warm emotions.
Katie's was like, thank you America. You made a big mistake though, because like Ada's gonna sing next. Yeah. You're gonna be real sorry you didn't put her in the top 10.
Which again is a very Katie thing that I love. All right, so let's finish here with Gabby Barrett. Now, I'm so intrigued to hear from you because you were like fine on Gabby. You were not on Gabby coming into the top 24. You were fine on her going into the top 14. What did you think about her now coming into the top 10?
Yeah, so I liked her a lot last night, the night before. I felt like she did a really good job on her songs. I think that she's started to sing a little bit more like how she sang in her audition. It's a little bit more of that mix of country.
Yeah, and well, she talks about how she obviously grew up in, I think, Oklahoma, where Carrie Underwood's from, but she like learned via gospel choir how to put some more R&B and soul into
it. Here's the thing though, The Climb, like, please don't sing The Climb.
I think like it was
it's
perfect
a great
for her.
Song to, it's she's, a, it's she's a great got, song I just don't want to hear it.
She's got
the
very
again.
Youthful country tone, which is very Miley Cyrus, so I think it was an incredible
I
song
really really
her.
Liked the song she sang the second night though,
Little Red Wagon.
Loved that.
I mean, it was so much fun too, because like we don't get to see that side of her, and forget like up tempo, she was all over the place. She got the crimped hair and she's
that's
like,
how I felt like that song was the first time I've really liked her, whereas like I felt like The Climb was like, again, her trying to be country, whereas like I felt like Little Red Wagon was like genuine.
Well, I think that with The Climb, what I liked is that, you know, one of the problems that she had in her top 24 solo was that like it was coasting, big spike at the end. I'm glad that she built out the build.
It's true. Vocally speaking, yeah, you're right. It was a better choice for her to emphasize like what she's capable of.
Little Red Wagon was just so much fun.
It was just really fun. Yeah. And so I felt like I was able to connect with her finally, which is great.
Yeah. She does like the hair flip. She kicks. So like it was cool to see that different side of her. Because again, Carrie Underwood,
she's been a little too reserved.
Yeah. She got Carrie Underwood got the nickname Farm Bot because she like, again, just sort of stood there and sang. But like Gabby has proved that she doesn't necessarily have that, which is good.
Agreed.
So that's it. That's the 14 performers as we move into top 10.
That's that.
That is that. So yeah, we're going from, again, 10 down to 7, just to get the schedule for the rest of the season, because it's going to go super quick.
Oh yeah, we have to tell them the big news, the big news, the first thing that's ever happened in live TV ever.
I'm a little confused by this. So they're doing...
Wait, no, you didn't understand me when I said it the first time. It's the biggest news that's ever happened ever.
I'm sorry.
The first time in live reality television ever in the history of reality television.
I should understand the historical consequences of it. So they're doing live voting throughout the show and broadcasting live in all 50 states.
So basically, when you're watching the show, you're able to vote simultaneously on your app.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you're Gabby singing and I want to give her a vote, I can vote for her. So no matter if I'm watching in the East Coast feed or the West Coast feed.
But are they going to be shown at all the same time? Or is it going to be like the West Coast will experience it 3 hours after we do?
I think it's all at the same time.
So my question is, because if they do like results at the very end of the show,
it's going to be the results at the very end of the show.
So then, but how is that fair to like the person who goes first? You could just keep voting for them the entire show.
I think it's like,
is it like a voting window or something?
I think it's a voting window.
If you out there have any ideas, because I haven't looked too much into this, admittedly, because that was my only concern was like, those that go near the end of the show might be screwed because there's just not enough time to vote for them.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I think it's an interesting concept, but it's definitely going to have some issues.
I mean,
so.
I would rather, I guess, we'll see how, I don't want to like, put the cart before the horse. We'll see how this works.
Stop being so negative.
No, I'm not being negative.
It's my birthday week.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't be negative on your birthday
week. It's a birthday girl.
But I will say that I'm intrigued by it because I like this as an idea more than what they've done the past two seasons, which is, let's reveal the results next week, but we'll like slowly reveal who's safe one at a time and then have that carry over into the next week. It got very confusing.
So tiring too.
So we'll see if this, that's the only pitfall I'm expecting. And we'll see if that ends up being a thing. Maybe there's some sort of like metric behind it that I'm not entirely sure about. But next week, the final 10 are doing Disney with a special guest mentor, the wickedly talented Adele Dazeem, which should be very exciting.
You say Adele Nazeem?
Yes. How much do you bet there's going to be at least one joke about that?
Maybe. I don't know.
I feel like there is. Do you think that anyone's going to sing Let It Go?
Oh, maybe, probably. Yes. If she's there, then yeah, for sure. So I'm excited. I love Disney themed weeks. I mean, when we would do Dancing with the Stars coverage, that was by far my favorite week because it would just be like, let's watch some people dance like Disney princesses. And that's just like the dream.
And now we can see people sing like Disney princesses
or Disney villains, which I love too.
Yeah. And we'll see, because this is also one of the other fun things about this top 10 is that it really is a wide array of styles and genres. So we'll see, Kate is someone I'm really interested by because he's done a lot of great songs that are all classic rock songs. So is he going to take a song and turn it into a classic rock song? Is he going to try to find a Disney version of a classic rock song? I'm not entirely sure, but to watch people like him and Dennis and even some people like Katie and Maddie, you know what? I'm locking this in right now. Maddie better sing When Somebody Loved Me from Toy Story 2. That would just be absolutely sweet. So we shall see next week. As the top 10 go down to 7, so again, just to get the schedule away, it's going to be 10 down to 7, 7 down to 5, 5 down to 3, and apparently, again, for the first time ever, historic in American Idol history, we're going into a top 3 for the finale. We're going Survivor style.
Which I love. That's fun. I feel like that would be different, and I think kind of fun to have it be a little bit more varied.
Yeah, I mean, if it was a perfect world, we'd be able to have multiple weeks where we can eliminate, one person every week. But just because I'm so excited to see these people and I want to see them perform as much as possible. But
yeah, I agree.
But, they can only put out so much of the
show.
There
can only be one American Idol.
Yeah, but we'll have three people to vie for it by the end. So I this was a really fun episode. This was a really fun episode to talk about. And I
had so much fun talking with this. Oh, thank
you.
About this with you.
Did you just have like a...
I think my brain just died.
Yeah, your circuitry just like fried for
it
a second.
It did.
Well, birthday girl, Angela Bloom.
Birthday girl.
How can people follow you on social media?
At Ange Pelagi on Twitter and Insta. And you can follow Lily, guest artist on the American Idol podcast.
Is she the Idina Menzel of this podcast?
Yeah. On,
so they keep saying let it go to the tennis balls she has gripped in her mouth. God.
On Instagram at Lily Bloom Puppy Dog.
You can always follow me at A Mike Bloom Type. You can check out all the podcasts I'm doing for RHAP and otherwise, and also all of the articles I'm writing, Survivor Exit Press for Parade, as well as TV coverage for the Tribeca Film Festival, and I'm sure much more along the way. Let us know your thoughts about the top 14, who you're excited for moving to the top 10, and what you think the Disney Week will be. We'll be back at some point next week to break down how the top 10 deal with these Disney as 10 go down to 7. Should be really exciting. Thank you all so much for listening. Angela, happy birthday once more. Thank you again for all of your fantastic expertise and opinions.
You're so welcome.
Did I put the voice on again accidentally?
No, it's just a weird, different voice.
It's very Michael Woodard.
Yeah, I liked it.
Thank you. Just like Michael Woodard's. All right. Thanks so much, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.